This is Brock Bowers of the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to JT the Brick on Raider Nation Radio.
It's the JT the Brick Show.
You know, we're going to have a lot of positive energy. The guys that love to compete and play with passion are going to have a chance at our place.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Man, I'm loving it, man. They're making my job tremendously easy to be out here with these young, talented players, man. I think we have a really good team.
I'm super excited. I'm already loving this fan base, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, what a day today. We are back on the radio Monday as I'm back from Arizona, and the Raiders wrapped up the preseason at State Farm Stadium in Glendale. Nice Sunday at the house, and now we're getting ready for Raider cutdowns and the roster and the practice squad and what the Raiders are going to do next. I cleared out the show today. We had guests. I said no guest. This is for callers. This is for the chat. This is for YouTube. And as I always say, sound off like you got a pair. Today, if you hear of a cut before me, like Amari Gaynor on the ride in, basically said thank you to the Raiders as he's out. And I'm not going to report on anything until it becomes official from the Raiders. That's the way I run this show. That's the way we're going to continue to do it. I wait for the Raiders to say who they cut. Because if I get a cut wrong, it's bad on me with that player. So I'm not here guessing who gets cut, who's on the practice squad until I get the official news from the Raiders. Now, a lot of players know they've been contacted. That's how this works. A lot of players know that they're officially out, and they'll put it out. If they want to put it out on Twitter, X, they can do that. But I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? This is a livelihood. This is a dream. This is a job. I'm not a big guy on this projected rosters. A lot of guys are good at that. Vinny's better than that. Me, Tashawn Reed, all the guy Q. You know, all those guys who do it, I've never done that. It's not my thing. I don't talk about people's jobs until they become official or they lose them. And I don't talk about players' money. I don't talk about their money. I don't talk about their wives. I don't talk about other things that I know in their personal life. I don't do it. And this is a very personal day today because everybody who gets cut today deserved to be in the NFL and their dream is still alive. For some. Others, it's going to be, that's it. You know, I tried to make the team. I've tried to make a practice squad. I've tried to play the last 2, 3, 4 years. It's not happening and I'm going to move on. And that's okay. Because I don't believe, if you've been listening to me, I have my son in studio today. He's a college graduate. I got my other son on the stream. I don't believe you should ever be defined by your job. And that's the focus of the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. Thanks to the Strat for hosting Tim Brown. If you went out there, I got a lot of pictures and posts from fans who went to the Strat to see the Chalk Talk with Tim Brown. Looked like a great event. PTs fuels the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2. So I really don't believe you should be judged by your job. I hope you don't judge me by my job. I want people to judge me by being a dad, being a husband, being a friend. That's it. This is a job, man. It, you know, whatever, and it starts and ended, who cares? Right? Your job is not the priority in your life. Your family and your friends are. And at times we forget that football players have family and friends. We think of them as just paid performers for us who could be let go, could be cut, could be just thrown aside. Let me tell you something. I had a really difficult time personally and mentally on the team bus going to the plane to leave when there were a whole bunch of knuckleheads talking about Aiden O'Connell's injury. And I think what controlled me, Bobby, and slowed me down on the team bus as I work for a team, because I'll slide into your bleeping DMs or whatever. But what made me think about Aiden O'Connell was he was injured. I saw him in the locker room injured. And before I sat my ass down on the bus, I have people saying, good riddance, move on, who's next? What, are you out of your mind? This is a human being who's a Raider, and he's been a great Raider. He beat Kansas City in Kansas City. He's made great throws. He's the first one in, last to leave at times. He stayed here in the offseason with his wife to work on his craft. He was drafted by Josh McDaniels. I mean, how many play calls did he have? I can't even keep up. Luke Getsy, Scott Turner, Norv Turner, Bo Hardigree, Chip Kelly now. I mean, give me a break. All the guy did was show up for work and put his body on the line, which has been injured multiple times, to play for the famed Raiders. And I got people, as I'm sitting on the bus before I get on the plane, trashing this kid. I mean, are you out of your... I'm like, what are we doing here? We can't do this to players. We can't... When players get cut, you can't go into their Twitter feed and say goodbye or say something that way, because you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't have the balls to do it in the locker room if you were allowed in, and you wouldn't do it on the street. So I say that today as I open up the show. Everybody remember that these guys busted their ass to make the team. Some of them did not make the team. Some of them didn't deserve to make the team. But they put on the Raider uniform, which is supposedly something you love, and give them some credit for that. Instead of sitting there and sitting on a couch saying you're a bum. Aiden O'Connell is not a bum. Aiden O'Connell will be back. His trials and tribulations, yeah, I put out, you know, he's been through a lot, and I got people saying, well, Derek Carr went through a lot. Yeah, had nothing to do with Derek Carr. It has everything to do with Aiden O'Connell. Now, do I have opinions on who should be the next quarterback or a backup? Yeah. I think the Raiders, after that injury, need to go out and get a veteran backup quarterback. We got Cam Miller. Cam Miller's not ready to play in the NFL yet. That's not a knock on him. He's not ready. He's never played in an NFL game that matters. He's looked okay. I like his twitch. I like his hip movement. I love the fact that he could pump fake. Haven't seen that around here in a long time. And I like him. Oh, boy, if we have to play him, we're in trouble. We're just in trouble. So we got to go get a veteran quarterback. I have some ideas on that a little bit later on who I think is a viable option. But you're basically going to be going for a quarterback who's a backup, and that really bothers Raider Nation. When you tell Raider Nation that their next backup is a backup, like, who do you want? You're not getting a starter. You know, you're not going to get a starter that's sitting out there, most likely. So you're going to have to find a player that can fit in. And to me, that becomes a really big priority now. So, cool story. After the game ended, as I was talking about this journey to the bus, and it was interesting, when we got dropped off in Arizona, we got dropped off, you know, at the stadium, but we had to walk around the entire field. If it was a real game, I would have been like, man, this is weird. They're making the players walk like 200 yards. So you walk into the locker room, and then after the game, I leave my bag in the locker room, and I grab it, and I'm walking out, and I'm walking out with Geno Smith. So I said, hey, Geno, what's up? And there was hundreds of fans wanting Geno's autograph. Hundreds. And I'm walking with him, and probably for the first 100 yards, he's just talking to me. And we had a private conversation. And what I could share with you is he is in great shape. He told me some things about how excited he is about the year, which was just between us. And I mentioned Aiden got banged up. Yeah. He was concerned about that. Just a great guy. And I walked with Geno almost to the bus, and he stopped and signed autographs with Brock for a while. And fortunately, Geno looked really good when he was playing with the starters. So as you look and you put a bow, and we look on this entire year of the preseason only, you know, you can look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't think there was a lot of ugly. There was good and bad. But I thought there was a lot of good with the starters on offense, and that's what I wanted to lead with. I think when the Raiders put out their first team offense, which congratulations to Jaxon Powers-Johnson, it looks like he'll be the starter at right guard. So he's a starter in the NFL. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And I think he's a mauler. But when you look at that starting offensive line with Jordan Meredith and DJ Glaze and Colt Miller and Dylan Parham, I think it's pretty good. But they haven't played a game together. And they're going to be judged by PFF on their blocking rates, what they do. And, you know, no one's going to be able to hide. You're either going to be good at this or not. So the offensive line, along with Brock Bowers, who had a big catch in the home game against the Niners, Trey Tucker had a really good practice session in the preseason. I thought he was like one, maybe the MVP of the preseason when I was at practice, at least. He caught a lot of deep balls. He did a lot of good stuff. We know Jacoby Myers is fantastic. We know Michael Mayer's here, right, for those who thought he'd be traded. Well, he's here today, and Big Mike looks good, and he's healthy. And then you got Dante Thornton and Jack Besh. A couple of people said, what's going on with Jack Besh? I go, what are you talking about? What's going on with him? Guy's great. He blocks downfield. He plays special teams. He's a second-round pick. And Chip Kelly showed us nothing in the preseason. Nothing. So I'm dealing with fans. What happened to Besh in the preseason? What? What do you mean what happened to him? He was great. Practice every day. Was out there doing his thing. You know, what do you want Chip to do? Run a double reverse to him? I mean, you're not going to see anything. Now, for me, and the show's about you, not me. For me, you know, there were a couple of times I got a chance to call big plays, but not many. If we went back in the hot tub time machine before I did the play-by-play this preseason, I was really hoping for like 11 touchdowns and four of them to be bombs with me going, touchdown, Las Vegas. That didn't happen. Okay? So I had to tell my dad, hey, here's my touchdowns here and there. It's a short file because Chip didn't show us anything. Do y'all get that? Is everybody good with that? There's no one arguing that point. So Chip didn't go out there and throw a lot of wrinkles and show you a bunch of stuff. Matter of fact, he didn't even do it late in the in these preseason games where there were a lot of young players trying to make the team and put up some tape. You would think maybe a bomb or two to a couple of these guys. No. No, he didn't do it. Okay, so there was a lot of good in regards to that. What I'm concerned about, not scared and not nervous, but I'm clearly concerned about, is the backup offensive line. I was not impressed at all with the backup offensive line. But that being said, I don't break down tape, and I'm not looking at the all-12s, and I'm not sitting in the offensive line room. Maybe some guys did better than I thought. Alex Kappa was injured for the entire preseason. A lot of it. A lot of it. Remember last year, JPJ and Colton Miller didn't play at all in Costa Mesa. So the backup offensive line, Thayer Mumford, who I like a lot, and the rest of those guys, ask Aiden. Aiden won't say a negative thing about him, but Aiden was running for his life, and I wasn't impressed with that. When it comes to the other issues, I mean, the corners, I'm assuming the Raiders are going to be active on the wire and bring in. I really think he's going to bring in some corners or a corner. Would I bet my life on it? No, but I'm pretty confident that we need a corner, either a starter or someone who's really good, who's going to get let go because basically they got beat out by a younger and cheaper player, and we can go get that player and sign him for cheaper and maybe have a starter at corner 12 days away from Foxborough. I don't know. It's getting late, but all teams are dealing with this. I'm good with the linebackers. I think the linebackers hit pretty hard. I didn't see a lot of the linebackers guarding the passing game. That's been a concern for me forever around here. No matter who's here, I'm very concerned about linebackers in coverage. I'm not concerned about linebackers tackling guys in front of them. I'm not concerned about that at all. This Jamal Adams signing could be really big because the Raiders have a need for someone to play down near the line of scrimmage who can put his hands on a Travis Kelce or someone. We claim to have that guy every year. We never use him. We claim to have the guy who can put their hands on Kelce. The first time that happens, I'll tell you, because it hasn't happened. We don't do it. So maybe there's someone here like Jeremy Chinn or Jamal Adams who can do that. So I'm excited about that. And then the kicking game is spectacular. Spectacular. Look, they're going to miss a kick. Carlson's going to miss a kick. You know that's going to happen. It just happens when you're a kicker. But, man, we got a really good kicking game. And I think that's going to have to play out well. They didn't show us nothing also at all when it came to special teams. You know, I saw a little bit of practice that I'll keep to myself, but we didn't see a lot when it came to special teams on coverage. You know, got a bunch of guys like Dylan Lobby made tackles, which is great. Guys make tackles when they're supposed to. They block. I love that. The Gunners do a good job, but there's not a whole hell of a lot for me to break down on that. And then the coaching, as I tweeted it out on Twitter on X at JT the Brick. And we're also live on YouTube, as if you want to get in and watch what we're doing here today, JT the Brick YT. I need a really big push from everybody to subscribe to our YouTube right here before we start the season off. So if you haven't already, please subscribe. JT the Brick on YouTube, JT the Brick YT. We'd really appreciate it. It's free, and we think we're growing that platform really good too. Also, the last thing I put out on X is the coaching. I think the coaching is the best that's been around here in a long time because of Pete Carroll. You might think I'm knocking the other coaches. I never do. I think all the other coaches have different styles. They're dealing with certain problems. This coaching staff will deal with problems, injuries, what the record, winning, losing games. All coaching staffs deal with problems. But if you got a chance to watch or hear Pete Carroll's press conference yesterday, he's just cool and calm and under control. And I think we need that in this era of the Las Vegas Raiders. So we got about a week and a half before we're really going balls out with our grid, with our guests, with our national guests, our insiders and all that. I don't have a plan to go anywhere on Labor Day, so I'm going to be around. I'm going to be working. My work schedule's never been busier on the radio. I'm doing 8 shows a week on radio, which is about the max you can do. I don't want to do 10, 5 days a week here, 3 at night on Mad Dog, on Sirius XM, plus all the TV we're doing for the Raiders. So we got a busy schedule coming up. And I want to at least enjoy the rest of the week, and I got to get my voice back to not being Bob Dylan at the end of a tour and get it back to where I need it to be. The phone number is 702-365-9200. Today's show is very easy for you out there. All I want you to do is give me a score, a rating on the preseason. And please don't talk about the score of the game. You won't go pretty long with your phone call. I don't want to hear about the score of the games. I want to get your overall honest opinion on the preseason. That's it. You follow the Raiders. You follow it closely. A lot of people seem excited. We always have our group that isn't excited. You know, we have pessimists and optimists. I'm always an optimist at the beginning of the year. And don't tell me I'm not an optimist or pessimist when I host the post-game show, because I'm the first guy there if we lose. So don't give me that crap. I'm honest after every game, real honest. And this year I'll be joined by Lincoln Kennedy. And Lincoln and I had an unbelievable cigar session. I got to tell this story. Lincoln came to the hotel. He lives out there to get his credential. He texted me when he's on his way and said, let's meet outside for a cigar. So Lincoln and I sat outside, and we had a cigar, which was fantastic, which was great. And that was a lot of fun, and we talked a lot about life, and we talked a lot about football. So that's where we're at. Ian Rappaport just reported Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Myers recently met with the team brass and requested to be traded. Ian Rappaport. So let's get into this. This is Ian Rappaport 3 minutes ago. Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Myers recently met with the team and requested to be traded per me and Tom Paracello. The team, citing his value, said they had no plans to do so. Myers and the team attempted to negotiate a new contract but could not come to terms. News alert, breaking news, Ian Rappaport. So that's Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero's opinion. Okay, that's not John Spytek or Pete Carroll's opinion. Okay, clearly he wants a new deal. All my run-ins with him have been great. You know, he's a good player in this league. So that's a topic that we got to you first, I believe, because it just came out. So you can go down that road there. All right. Chris in West Oakland leads us off as we get ready for cutdowns. What's happening, Chris?
Hey, JT. Man, that one came out of left field. I don't know anything about it. Obviously, I'm not going to comment too much, but certainly something to monitor going forward. You know, if there's any truth to it, that's the last thing the Raiders need, that kind of distraction going into the opener in a couple of weeks. And real quick, what do you mean you don't want to work 10 days? You getting old, my friend? What happened to the hardest working man in sports talk? No. I remember the tick of 10:50 when you did 8 hours a day. and you got off the air like it's still you'd still do another 10. But Father Time's undefeated, I guess. But anyway, you know, the grade on the before I get into too much, your grade on the preseason. I give it a 9 for one simple reason.
Whoa.
Nobody of any
giving the preseason a 9? Wow. That's all the years we've been friends. I've never heard that out of your mouth.
No. What you've heard me over the years consistently, JT, preseason doesn't matter except for one thing, health. Nobody of any significance other than Aiden O'Connell, who, by the way, I agree with you. Some of the stuff I saw, you know, people cheering people's injuries, it's just pathetic and just wrong on every level. I'm not the Aiden O'Connell fan you are, obviously, but I didn't want to see anybody get hurt. But I don't care if they win or lose. They're not showing anything in the preseason. They came out of it extremely healthy. That makes it a successful preseason. I don't know how this – I've got my predictions. I'll give it to you in the, leading up to the games. But the only thing that mattered happened during preseason. Pete Carroll seems like he's done a good job establishing the culture, the pace of things and practice, and health. That's all that matters in preseason is health. And as far as the one thing, though, JT, watching this team, they have to stay healthy. I don't know. I worry a little bit about the back line of their defense, but I really worry about their depth. The starters on this team have to stay healthy, and that's a hard thing to do in the NFL, but they seem razor thin, as always. I've heard this team over the years how much money we have to spend, yet we always seem to be razor thin in depth. Can't ever seem to sign a stud linebacker, although I think White could change that this year. So, but I think depth, cut down day, I don't know who's been cut yet. I think the next couple of weeks, if the Raiders can pick up a couple of pieces, I don't think we're going to find a starter or a stud. But if we can get 3 or 4 guys to provide depth in case of injury, because injuries are going to happen, then that's what they need to look for in the next 2 weeks. But we'll see how it goes, man. But at the end of the day, I'm glad preseason's over because I hate preseason football. Nobody got hurt other than Aiden O'Connell, and let's strap it on in 2 weeks. I'll call you later this week and next week with my predictions on the season. But, oh, one other thing, you're right about one thing too, man. Your job doesn't define you. Your job is what you do, not who you are. I know you off the air. I know the maniac you are on the air. I know what kind of person you are off the air. And like I said, what you are behind the mic doesn't define you, just like what I didn't do for a living didn't define me. Thank you, my friend. Let's get these 2 weeks out of the way and get some real football going.
Yes,
later.
Yes, we have to get the next 2 weeks going. We are back to our top 10 Raiders all-time draft picks starting today. We got a baker's dozen, I believe. We couldn't fit 10 in. And we've done a lot of players. We've done 13 players already. And what we're going to do today, our two players are Reggie Kinlaw and Rod Martin. How about that? Reggie Kinlaw and Rod Martin today. And I'm thinking heavy about Rod Martin now. Rod is a friend over the years, so is Reggie. I went on the Raiders cruise. That was another funny thing. They ran the cruise. Not on who's going to make the team or not. We're going to find out. The Jacoby Myers story from Ian Rappaport's a pretty big one today. But again, as you know, I don't get involved in players' money. So what do you want to do here? What do you think of the preseason? Let us know. 702-365-9200. Thanks to Modelo, proud partner of the show.
Rod Martin is one of the most underrated players of my generation. If there was a big game, Rod Martin played big. If Rod got his hands on you, it was over. He would fight you over a game of backgammon. And I think that that's something that was consistent within that football team.
That's Howie Long on Rod Martin. We're back with our top Raider draft picks of all time. So that's where we're at on this, and I want to jump in on him quickly because we're going to talk about Reggie Kinlaw. Rod Martin, the legend out of USC, was one of the greatest players I've ever seen in the history of the Raiders. He was drafted in 1977 in the 12th round. the 317th pick. He went on to be a two-time Super Bowl champion, a first-team All-Pro, a second-team All-Pro, a two-time Pro Bowler, and widely considered the greatest performance in Super Bowl history with three interceptions in Super Bowl 15. He had an unbelievable run at USC. So we're going to get to Reggie Kinlaw later on, Rod Martin. And Rod's been going through some difficult times over the last couple of years. If you know Rod, you know that. And I'm always thinking of Rod and how important he is in my life, in my career with the Raiders, because I've had the opportunity to really build the special bond with Rod Martin. And in his 12 seasons, he recorded 14 interceptions, which he returned for 225 yards, four touchdowns, along with 10 fumble recoveries, which he returned for 122 yards and two touchdowns. He also recorded 33 and a half official sacks. Sacks were not an official stat until 1982. That was his fifth season. So Rod Martin, to me, really was one of those special players that we're celebrating. And he's really the perfect storm of what we tried to do this summer as we're kind of going through exactly what's happening. But I'm excited to talk about Rod Martin because he was drafted in the 12th round and won two Super Bowls. That, to me, is the ultimate example of the impact that Al Davis had. And Al Davis found a player in two, in Reggie Kinlaw and Rod Martin. So I'd like you to get on top of that. If you got a call on that, let us know. And we'll go from there, 702-365-9200. So Ian Rappaport reported that he, according to that, that Jacoby Myers has requested a trade. Jacoby is the number one receiver now for the Raiders. So that is a big topic overall because we're sitting here and, you know, Jacoby is a guy for 1,000 yards. He didn't drop a ball last year. And the team, citing his value, said they had no plans to trade him. Myers and the team attempted to negotiate a new contract but could not come to terms. Now, I would say that this is very common in the NFL for a player of his stature who came into the league and people were, well, who's Jacoby Myers? How's he going to do? And he's turned out to be a really good player. And he is a core leader for the Raiders going forward. Now, what happens from here, clearly, as we look at the season starting, and there's contracts with Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons that is picking up most of the steam, this is an interesting topic for me. Because, again, I know where the guardrails are and where I need to be. And as I look at this going forward, I'm just wondering overall, if you believe, and again, I'm not going to comment on his money, but what a big priority he is for this team coming into this year with Geno. There's a lot of young receivers that I'm on board with, but Jacoby's the veteran, and I think Jacoby is really important with everything that the Raiders want to do. So that's what we'll find out here as we're waiting for more information on cutdown day, and we will go from there. And the number 702-365-9200, and there's a lot of good players out there that are sitting by the phone today wondering if they're going to get a call to come on in from the Turk that they've been cut. But now with the expanded practice squads, the ability to put players on injured reserve like Lonnie Johnson to come back after missing four games. And I think the practice squad is really important, more so than I remember in a long time now, because this is a time where the Raider practice squad players, because I believe their lack of depth is going to be important. If you're on the practice squad here, you might get called up and be in a situation that we need you. And you're going to have to jump in and play. And you're going to have to play at a high level. All right, let's get into some of the sound bites from the game on Saturday in Arizona. The first team defense opened up explosive. You know, Max wasn't going to play much in this game, but I watched him warm up when he was out there. I knew he was going to start the game, and Max had an immediate impact. Pitch to the right and blown up behind the line of scrimmage. There he is, his birthday yesterday, and he's having a birthday party early, Mad Max Crosby.
What an amazing play.
Yeah, Max explosive. So was Kuntz, to see those players get going. Now, I think Zamir White has had a really good preseason, and he looks different. I think Raider Nation, you all agree on that. He really looks different, and he looks explosive. I don't know how much weight he lost or not. It looks like he lost some weight, but he's still a rock. I mean, he is running hard. As the Raiders are on the 41 of Arizona, Geno in the shotgun, Zeus right behind him there. They'll hand it off to him right up the middle, and he's got it. Powerful run. Yeah, it was a powerful run, and he picks up a first down on that play. This is really important. I don't know what the Raiders are going to do on third and short. Do you? I mean, do you take Ashton Jeanty out to put Zamir White in on third and one? You might. If you're running Ashton Jeanty on first and second down as a rookie and you get to third and inches, I mean, Zamir White has got more experience. He's bigger. I don't know if he's stronger. I mean, Zamir White is a bull. But I think Ashton Jeanty, I don't want to see him come off the field, but he's going to come off the field. He's going to need a breather. And Zamir White last year I thought Zeus didn't have the ability behind the offensive line to show us what he could really do. So that's going to be fascinating going forward. Now, I haven't heard this yet. Bobby pulled this. This is the touchdown call. Geno Smith to Dante Thornton to put the Raiders on the board. Geno in the shotgun, looking left and then back right to Dante to a corner fade. He catches it as the end. Touchdown, Las Vegas Raiders. Dante Thornton right on the back shoulder, and the Raiders are on the board. Yeah, that was nice. Good call there. We were able to get that in. It was a back shoulder, a toe tap, and all that. So nice pitch and catch. And what was interesting about that touchdown, why it was so important, because there's a lot of people that just think Dante Thornton's going to run go routes and nine routes, and he's not going to be able to do that. And I'm amazed by this. I think he can do everything. He did everything at Tennessee, but when you're 6'5", when you're 6'5", and you can run a 4.3, everybody thinks you're going to run a bomb on every play. And I said that about Trey Tucker, too. He's not that tall, but he runs bombs and go routes. What happens when Trey Tucker runs a 3-yard slant for a touchdown? I think that's going to surprise some people, and it shouldn't be a surprise. So with that in general, I think we're going to be in a unique situation to see versatility all over the place when it comes to what we're going to see here. The versatility is going to be really big for the Raiders in the passing game. All right, here's when Aiden O'Connell went down. And Aiden at this time, he really didn't, there wasn't much he could do here as the line broke down. Aiden looking to the left side under pressure. He's going to get sacked, and the ball comes out, and it's loose. It's on the ground. Arizona looks to have recovered it. It'll be Arizona ball. Aiden felt the pressure, tried to move to the left side, couldn't get rid of the ball, takes the hit, Arizona football. All right, so that's it there with Arizona football, and Aiden got hurt. Now, I want to say this. When we were calling the game in a corner end zone, which is kind of weird. You know, you call a game, you like to be on the 50. They put radio at times, Miami, Arizona, in a corner end zone. So I got the binoculars, and I'm looking at this, and then they bring in Cam. And then Mike Taylor, who's spotting for us, points down right underneath us to the tunnel, and Aiden was running into the tunnel. And I was able to say, Aiden's going to the tunnel. And that's when I first knew that Aiden O'Connell, something was wrong. We didn't know much about that until after the game. So for Pete Carroll, you know, he talked about what happened in this game here and, you know, the exchange on O'Connell's injury. And this is a difficult time for Aiden. I said that in the monologue. Very difficult time for him. And I look at this and I've seen so many athletes get hurt in my career on the radio. I've seen NBA players live at games blow out their knee. I saw Paul George in the USA basketball exhibition. His career almost come to an end. I've been there for guys getting hurt. It's hard to watch. But this wasn't one of those where he was carted off the field. Pete Carroll at his press conference talking about the injury.
O'Connell's wrist injury, is that just precautionary or do you think something serious?
No, he fractured his wrist. He's hurt. And it's going to be a while. They'll have to get that fixed. So that's a big blow for us.
Yeah, that's a big blow for us, and that came from Pete Carroll. That's a big blow for us. So when you see that overall, what did you think, Raider Nation, when you saw Aiden kind of go to the locker room and come back and not ready to go again? I think it's a big loss because we know a couple of things about Aiden O'Connell. He's well-prepared, And before this game, he was lightly called out for not playing fast enough. Like, he needed to speed up the game. So he wasn't able to, I think, have the opportunity. And then I noticed a lot of fans, and this is not just Aiden O'Connell. This had more to do with Shador. Shador was sacked 5 times. I saw a tweet today that said the 4 out of the 5 offensive linemen that were in when Shador got sacked 5 times were all cut. Is that fair to Shador or Aiden if they're playing with backups or aren't going to make the team? Well, it is fair because you're a quarterback. You play whenever you're called on. You play whenever you're called on, period. But if you're playing behind a preseason offensive line of 2s and 3s and then you get injured and you're out, that sucks. It stinks. Remember when Donald Penn, I think, gave up 1 sack the year Derek Carr got hurt on Christmas Eve. And Derek Carr broke his ankle. You know, Donald Penn got beat on that play. Donald is a fabulous player. He's a very good player. He just got acknowledged by the Buccaneers as one of their all-time greats up front. But it can happen. But when it happens with backups, I think everybody gets a little bit, you know, they start to rip the quarterback. How come you didn't get rid of the ball? Well, why didn't you throw it away? Well, you know, you're in the middle of that. It's happening at full speed. It could get really dicey. So we'll have more of Pete Carroll's press conference coming up on the other side. And again, I'm shocked. I'm sitting here today looking for scores from the preseason. Other than Chris in West Oakland, I haven't heard from anybody. So am I assuming everybody's good? Everybody? Chris gave it a 9 out of 10, which was shocking. That's like Simon Cowell on America's Got Talent or American Idol giving a standing ovation to someone. Very rare that you're going to get almost a perfect score of the preseason from Chris in West Oakland. And I thought we'd be coming in talking about no injuries, but Aiden got injured. Lonnie Johnson got injured earlier. But the core group of these players are pretty healthy going into the Patriot game. So that's where we're at here as we open it up. 702-365-9200. More of the sound bites of the game, Pete Carroll's press conference, and we're keeping an eye, as we should, on the potential cutdowns coming today.
Can be, because there wasn't much of a surge there. Rod Martin just held up his side, and Mike Davis got up in there. Look at Rod Martin. He doesn't want to get up. He wants to hold that spot that he made the play in. Rod Martin here. He's number 53 against 88. Rick Walker. He said, Ricky Walker's not going to block me. He said he played at UCLA. He said he didn't block me in college, and he won't block me in the Super Bowl. And Rod was right on that play. I would be surprised if this is a first down.
It doesn't look like it is from here.
Summerall and Madden on Rod Martin. Rod Martin breaks into our list as the top Raider draft picks of all time, a 12th round pick. Reggie Kinlaw next hour, as we'll get to Reggie. So ESPN.com, and look, when there's news or breaking news and the news of this hour involves the Raiders, the top headline at ESPN.com, Raiders Jacoby Myers seeking an extension, request a trade. Jacoby Myers has requested a trade. A source confirmed to ESPN. Myers, who had 87 catches for 1,027 yards and 4 touchdowns, has been seeking a contract extension. He's entering the final season of a 3-year, $33 million contract. He signed with the Raiders as a free agent in 2023. NFL Network reportedly broke that story. The other story is the Commanders and wide receiver Terry McLaurin have reached agreement today on a 3-year contract extension worth up to $96 million. That ends his holdout. He'll be ready for the season opener against the Giants. His agent reported that he receives a $30 million signing bonus in the deal. So that's a nice contract for him. Not at the top of the game there. There's been more receivers there who are better. He did not report to camp. Was fined for missing the first 4 days, a total of $200,000. He's already been fined $104,000 for missing the mandatory 3-day minicamp on that. So more than $250,000. But by reporting there, he went on the physically unable to perform list with an ankle injury, so they say. That happened late last season. He was also part in the voluntary workouts. So there's another receiver who got paid, and Jaden Daniels has his number one target, which is the whole reason he's getting paid. Raider Dave, we didn't forget about you as we looked at back at these draft picks. We got a two-for-one today, Dave. We got Rod Martin and Reggie Kinlaw.
Those are both great players, man. I really enjoyed watching them. And, man, what a surprise it was for him to just know that the defense that he ended up coming up big in the Super Bowls and making huge plays on the ball. Him and Squirek is what I remember most about, just some of the great, great moments that they had. Hey, I'll give the preseason a 7.5. I think it would have been better if Tucker got in the end zone and if Myers got in the end zone. But watching Mumford, you know, get turnstiled, I've got some big concerns there. Overall, the line seemed to play better. It was unfortunate Kappa got hurt and couldn't compete, you know, with that. But I'm fine with the five they've got going in. I think the quarterback play, other than Geno, you know, it was just a learning process. And you kind of got to battle with who's in there with you. And I'm sure both of those quarterbacks would have played better with the ones. So if they ever do get that opportunity, and nobody wants to see Geno get hurt to give him that opportunity, I think they'll do better. You know, it's going to be a while for AOC, obviously, to get back. And I have a question whether or not there's a short-term IR, but I don't know if it's 4, 6, or 8 weeks or whatever. But maybe the Raiders can claim that and kind of help them out a little bit more. But defense-wise, man, this defensive line, I sure hope everybody stays healthy. I think they could just wreck everybody they come up against. And, you know, watching the synergy. I mean, you have to have synergy with three linebackers, gap coverage, and working with this this defensive line. It could be wreaking just holy hell on people with the front seven that the Raiders have. I was really happy, though, to see a little bit of man-on-man play on the corners. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure that the starters were going to play, and I really hoped that they were going to make some good evaluations. They put them in the type of scenario that would be the defense they're going to run. So all of that, you know, it would be a 10 with some more scoring and some wins. But other than that, I got to be really happy and really hopeful, and I'm sure you are too.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Good to talk to you. I'm hopeful. I mean, I wouldn't use the term happy. I always feel the same way when we wrap up preseason. Unless there's a catastrophic injury or something really, really crazy, I always feel the same thing about every coaching staff and every new regime. They got a chance to redo the roster, sign new players, and it's supposed to be better. And, you know, last year I felt the same way with Antonio Pierce. Not the same way as I do now, but last year at this time, I was concerned about the quarterback. With Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, I made that clear to everybody. Made it really clear to everybody. But, you know, this time around, I've been spending more time talking about Pete Carroll and John Spytek doing the right thing and how they're building this roster and what they're doing. So I'm very patient on this, even though I'm not patient, and I want the Raiders to win. You know, you want the Raiders to win the Super Bowl every year. Vegas doesn't think they'll be close. So to put yourself in my situation, I can't sit here and bang the drum, you know, Super Bowl favorites, but I can tell everybody that they're improved, and I think they're improved in a lot of spots. I really do. I think that the defensive line, as Dave just mentioned, I like the fact that if Tyree Wilson plays well, he's going to get some snaps at defensive tackle because there's no room for him unless Malcolm Kuntz turns out to take a step back, and we don't want to see that. So it would be great to say that Tyree Wilson's better than Malcolm Kuntz, that he's better than him, that if he was better than him and it was obvious in camp, he'd be starting, right? Isn't that what this whole Pete Carroll system's about? Let's just say for the conversation that Tyree Wilson was blowing up everybody in the preseason at camp at right defensive end or left defensive end. They were going to move Max to one side or the other, wherever Max wants to be, because Max will move around. We didn't hear that, but we heard that Jackson Powers Johnson was in competition with Alex Kappa. A guy was hurt. We didn't hear that Tyree Wilson was pushing Malcolm Kuntz. So that means that if Tyree moves inside, Adam Butler is the core guy. The three core guys going into the season are Malcolm Kuntz, Max Crosby, and Adam Butler. Well, this depth chart is loaded. At defensive tackle, Tonka Hemingway, J.J. Pegues. I just mentioned Tyree Wilson. There's a lot of guys there who are going to play. So what does it mean? It means that they're going to be fresh bodies. There's going to be a lot of fresh bodies that are only coming in for one or two plays a drive. Oh, my God, those guys better be ready to go. Imagine you're a defensive tackle and you get rotated in on second and four, and it's Tonka Hemingway. Okay, and you get pulled in, and you're going to come in, and you're going to play defensive tackle for one play. Don't you think you're going to play with your hair on fire on that one play? Because you're coming out right after that play, and you might not play till goal line. La'ulu seems to be penciled in as the starter, but he's not going to play every play. But he's good if it turns out that he's just as good as Adam Butler. Butler and La'ulu could be there playing the multiple snaps, and Malcolm and Max on the other side. But I think the depth is pretty good at defensive tackle. I do. And then they brought in Thomas Booker, who played in Philadelphia and was considered potentially being a starter here too. So with all that happening, there's a lot to be excited about with the defense. And then the linebackers right behind him are interesting to me. Good first hour brought to you by Grimaldi's Pizzeria, the best pizza I've ever had. We're back with Grimaldi's with the $50 gift card. I want to thank Grimaldi's for their tremendous partnership. We'll be out on the road with Grimaldi's a little bit more this year, also tying it into our college football coverage. Hey, UNLV wins a nail biter, and I'll congratulate Summerlin South Little League as they come back United States champions next.